I have to get you back into Yeshayahu, and I have, I think, a unique way to do so. But before, just by way of introduction, I had mentioned yesterday that one of my adventures during the course of the month that I was away was that I spoke before the Park Bible Church in Hamilton, Ontario. And of course, I didn't speak to them in the church. I said I wouldn't speak to them in church, but the local synagogue gave the main sanctuary for the congregation, the Park Bible Church, and they came. And they had sent me a letter in advance in which they say that many of our congregation have been in the Holy Land or are interested in a visit in the near future, but all love the people of Israel and are very interested in prophecy and Israel's future. And then they write that they have they wanted to know about Zionism in the 21st century, the present Israel-Syria peace talks, is it safe to give up the Golan, the future of Jerusalem. These are the things that these Goyim were interested in, the future of Israel. They wanted to know about the rebuilding of the temple, the Aliyah of North American Jews, and the prophetic role of Israel in the world. They also asked me... Huh? In one lecture, yes. Would you also give us your view of Ezekiel 37, 12 to 14? Is this literal? The resurrection of individuals talks about the that the dry bones will come back to life again. And they write, we think of the victims of the Holocaust, pogroms, etc. We're talking about Goyim who are lovers of the Jewish people. One paragraph, the final paragraph struck me. We consider it a unique opportunity to listen to an authority on the state of Israel. That's not what struck me. Huh? Oh, how did they know? What? How could you ask a question like that? How could you? I've never been so... Now that that's been said, the pastor of this church is a patient by a Dr. Joseph Greenbaum, who was my student 30 years ago. And he every time he comes to the doctor, so they talk about the Bible and Judaism. So he said, listen, if you want somebody who will give you your answers, okay, so they arranged it. It took a matter of a few months until they arranged this. Now, but what's important is the following. We consider it a unique opportunity to listen to an authority on the state of Israel as fulfillment of divine prophecy, and we have great respect for your decision to live with your people Israel in the land. I mean, I don't want to talk Lashon Hara about Eden, but I met somebody in Harnof just a few days ago who told me that he got a warning from a member of his family from America. His children are going to be visiting here. Don't dare talk to my children about Aliyah. No. Don't dare. Unbelievable. Here you have Goyim who respect a Jew who has decided to come on Aliyah. And then you have Yidin. Don't you dare talk to my children about them. All right. Well, I must say, I was humbled and I was impressed. These people know their Bible. We're the people of the book, but these people know the book. And there were a number of very insightful questions and comments. One question, of course, why don't American Jews go on Aliyah? The only answer that I was able to give them is the classic answer that was given by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in the Kuzari to the king of the Khazars. After Rabbi Yehuda Halevi waxed poetic about the sanctity of the land, so he asks him, so what are you doing over here in Spain? So he answered, Ho Vashtani Melech Kuzar, king of the Khazars, you have embarrassed and shamed me. And you're right. You're absolutely right. I told them I cannot explain why American Jews are not going on Aliyah. I can't explain. By the way, to them, of course, this is extremely significant, because for them, ultimately the Aliyah of all Jews to Israel will usher in the second coming. That's their motive. Yes, that's their motive. Yeah, I understand. I mean, I'm saying that I know that their motives are not kosher. All right. But then there was another insightful comment that was made, and this came in the question and answer session. I believe it's true. There was a time in the early years of the state, maybe even 20, 30 years of the state, the general school system placed tremendous emphasis on the study of Tanakh. And even the secular student was able to quote Tanakh with ease. And it isn't so today. It isn't so today. It just doesn't exist anymore, this knowledge of Tanakh. So one of the women raises her hand and says, "Rabbi, is it possible that's why they're ready to give up major parts of the land of Israel? Because they've lost their connection with the Tanakh?" And I told her, right on. You may very well be absolutely right. There is no sense of a connection. Now, I was humbled by one thing. They know their Tanakh. They know their Tanakh. And therefore, the purpose of this class really has been so that we should become people of the book. So I know that we're learning Yeshayahu, and I have to get you back to Yeshayahu. I'm going to take you on a little journey. Just follow me. I want you to follow me. And the place where I want to get you to is from the beginning of the Sefer until chapter 49. Now you think this is mad, stark raving mad. But I want to show you something. Are you ready? Can you open to the beginning of Sefer Yeshayahu? Watch this journey. I have a feeling it may be a very unique way of looking at Yeshayahu. I hope Yeshayahu looked this way at Yeshayahu. But I think you will see that it's absolutely correct, and I may even have a Maldim on my side, though he does not set up the Sefer as I'm going to set it up. In the first chapter, we're beginning with chapter 1, Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amoz, the vision of Yeshayahu, the son of Amoz, Asher Chazah, who saw Al Yehuda of Yerushalayim, about Judea and Yerushalayim, in the days of Uzziyahu, Yotam, Achaz, Yechizkiyahu, Malchei Yehuda. He said prophecy during the years of these four kings, Uzziyahu, Yotam, Achaz, Yechizkiyahu. Now, during the period of Uzziyahu, Yotam, Achaz, Yechizkiyahu, there were two great enemies of the Jewish people. There were two empires from which Eretz Yisrael suffered. The first one was Aram, and the second one was Ashur, Assyria. The empire of Aram fell before the onslaught of Ashur, and therefore the kingdom to come after Aram was Ashur. Now, if you will now go to chapter 7. Chapter 7. First pasuk. Vayehi bimei Achaz ben Yotam ben Uzziyahu melech Yehuda. Here is something that takes place during the period of the third of these four kings. In the days of Achaz, the son of Yotam, son of Uzziyahu, remember, Yeshayahu said prophecy during the days of Uzziyahu, Yotam, Achaz, and Yechizkiyahu, Malchei Yehuda. Olad etzin melech Aram, Upekar ben Remayahu melech Yisrael Yerushalayim la milchama aleha. In the days of Achaz, Aram still is the great power of the Middle East. And Aram is joined by, of all things, joined by the 10 tribes of Israel, and their plan is to conquer Judea, Yehuda, Yerushalayim. You understand? Allah Soritzin, the king of Aram, and Pekach ben Remaliyahu, the king of Israel, come up against Yerushalayim to war. V'lo yachol lehilachem Allah. They were unable to wage war against the city. Vayugad lebeit David lemor, the house of David was told so, saying, Nocha Aram al Ephraim, Ephraim, the Aram together with Ephraim have encamped. Vayona levavo ulevavamo, that means these two mighty forces are encamped now against Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. And he began to tremble his heart and the heart of his people, kinoa atzei ya'ar mipnei ruach, the way the trees of a forest bend before the wind. Fear and terror grips them, because here they are, Yerushalayim is going to fall before Aram and Yisrael. The prophecy here is a prophecy that appears not only here, but it also appears in Malachim. God appears to Yeshayahu to tell Ahaz, don't be afraid of these two smoking firebrands. They are all smoke and no fire, and nothing is going to happen. And let Aram know that their capital is Damascus and not Yerushalayim. Let the 10 tribes know that their capital is Shomron and not Yerushalayim. And God tells him that Aram and Yisrael are simply not going to succeed in their attack on Yehuda and Yerushalayim. And that ultimately already Yeshayahu says that the kingdom of Aram, the empire, is going to fall and it will be gone. And that ultimately Yisrael also are going to be taken off into exile. There will be no threat. That means in this chapter we are dealing with the end of the first great empire that inhabits the world during the days of Yeshayahu. Alright? And there are very beautiful prophecies about it, and that's the end. That's the end. Now, the next step comes. Yeah. I'll find it. Chapter 10, Pasuk 5. Your fingers, you're moving with me? Chapter 10, Pasuk 5. Hoy Ashur Shevet Api. Aram has already disappeared from the world scene. The kingdom, the empire that is Aram, has crumbled and fallen before Ashur, Assyria. Who is going to be the great king of Assyria? The great king of Assyria is going to be Sanherib. He is going to be the next one who is going to want to destroy Jerusalem. Hey Ashur, Shevet Api. God refers to Ashur as the staff of my anger. Umatehu biyodon za'ami, and he is the stick in my hand that expresses my wrath and my anger. And he says, I'm going to send begoy chonei pashalchenu. I'm going to send Ashur against a sinning people. Ba'al am evrati, I'm going to send Ashur against the people who have brought out my anger. Atzavenu, I'm going to command him. You know what he's going to do in Yehuda and Jerusalem? Lishlol shalol, the lavoz baz. He's going to spoil, and he's going to take the booty of war. Ulesimol mirmas kechomer chutzot, and he's going to turn Yehuda into the dust of the streets that is crushed and trampled. But v'hu lo chen yidameh. Here we're going to have a pasuk that is going to be a refrain that will be said by all of the great oppressors of Israel. He's not going to think so. He's not going to think that he's God's agent. And the only reason why he succeeds in battle is because God wants it to be so. He's not going to think that. His heart is not going to contemplate that. You know what he really has, what his intention is? Not to carry out the word of God, but in his heart he wants to destroy. Ul-hachriz goyim lo ma'at, and to cut out and destroy no small number of nations. And Sanhedrin is going to be a world conqueror. Not only the Jewish people. Kiyomer, because he's going to say, Hello, Sarai Yardov Melachim. My officers are kings. The one who's a minister by me could be a king of another nation. We are all mighty people. Hello, Kikar Kimish Kalno, Imlo Kar Pot Hamas, Imlo Kidamesek Shomron. There was the great battle of Karkemish, one of the great battles of ancient times. So he says, listen, Kalno, the name of another place, is just like Karkemish. We walked all over Karkemish and we destroyed it. Oh boy, we'll destroy them. And Arpad, Hamas is like Arpad. We will destroy Hamas as well. And Damascus, Shomron, he had brought down Damascus. Remember, Damascus was the capital of Aram. And now Ashur had conquered Damascus. So just like we've conquered Damascus, we're going to conquer Shomron. And he goes, and then of course, he plans on the great attack on Yerushalayim. So the Sanhedrin is now king of Ashur, and he's the one who's going to come against Yerushalayim. So take a look in chapter 10, Pasuk 24, Chav Dalet. Pasuk Chav Dalet. I'm taking you historically, I'm going to take you through one, two, three periods of time, and in chapter 49, we're going to be in a completely different time frame in history. And watch, you'll see, I think that this is going to give you a bird's eye view of Yeshayahu. So now, in chapter 10, Pasuk 24, Lachem therefore, Ko amar Hashem l'kim tzakot, so says the God of hosts, Al tira ami yoshev Tzion me'ashur. Don't be afraid, my people Tzion who live, my people who live in Tzion, don't be afraid of Ashur, don't be afraid of Assyria. B'shev et yakekar, with a stick he's going to hit you, umateu yisalecha, and he's going to hold his scepter over you, b'derech Mitzrayim, on his way to conquer Egypt. And you know what's going to happen? Ki od ma'at mizar, only in a brief, small period of time to come, v'kol ozam, v'api al tavlitam, my anger is going to go out against them, and is going to destroy them. You know what's going to happen? God is going to destroy Ashur. Where is Ashur going to be destroyed? As they stand outside Yerushalayim, ready for the final thrust. He's ready in the days of Chizkiyahu to bring down the city of Yerushalayim. And remember, we learn chapters 37 and 38 where Chizkiyahu sends a message to Yeshayahu to pray for the city. And remember, we learned all of the chapters where Rav Shokei, who is the messenger of Sanhedrin, stands outside the city of Yerushalayim, and he says, who of the gods of the world has been able to stand against my master Sanhedrin? We're going to bring you down. And remember that they asked him, speak in Aramaic, because we understand Aramaic. Don't speak in Hebrew, because the people who are standing on the walls will understand Hebrew. So he says, who do you think I'm here to talk to? I want them to hear. Do you think Chizkiyahu is going to stand before me? The gods of so many nations haven't been able to stand before me. The God of Israel is going to stand before me. I'm going to destroy the city. And then of course Yeshayahu comes to Chizkiyahu. After Chizkiyahu has prayed, and Yeshayahu tells Chizkiyahu, the man is not going to shoot an arrow toward the city. He is going to be destroyed at the entrance to Yerushalayim. And then, in that chapter, we were up to... such beautiful... Pasuk 28, yes?
God was using Ashur as his avenging whatever. So why is he suddenly becoming so kind?
Because he does not think, because Ashur thinks that it's his might and his strength, and he does not want to be merely the one who will cause punishment to the Jewish people. He wants to destroy them utterly. What happens with Ashur, as happens with all of them, we once discussed it in a different context. The Ramban's famous question, and the Ramban deals with it. If God had told Avram that the people of Israel are going to be enslaved for 400 years. So who did the job? The job was done by Egypt. So you know what should be done for Egypt? They should be given the Keser Torah Award at an annual dinner of place or Amal Avamalke in honor of Mitzrayim. God wanted a job to be done, and the job was done by Mitzrayim. So they deserve Yashikaya. So Yitro is the one who says it. Ki badovar asher zodu. It was their evil came upon them. They didn't do it. I mean, Mitzrayim didn't go to the mikveh and put on a girdle and say, hinini muchan mezumen l'kayim, the mitzvah of bringing punishment upon the Jewish people. They did it because they wanted to destroy, and they wanted to destroy utterly, and for that they are punished and they are destroyed utterly. Asher does not see him as Shevet. Asher sees himself as the one who is almighty and all-powerful, and he is going to destroy the Jewish people. Now watch a beautiful description. These psukim always, always move me. 28, Bo alayat, avar b'migron, lemichmas, yafkid kelav. You know what the pasuk is describing? The march of the forces of Sancheriv toward Yerushalayim. Michmas, of course, we know where it is. In other words, he's already coming through Eretz Binyamin. He comes to Ayat. From there he passes through to Migron. By Michmas, he already leaves his equipment. Ovru Ma'abara, they cross a place called Ma'abara. Geva Malon Lanu, we're going to stay overnight in Geva. Chordoh Ramah, Ramat Binyamin is frightened. Givat Shaul Nasar, the Jews who are living in Givat Shaul, and that's not the Givat Shaul near Harnov, but Givat Shaul, in other words, the land of Binyamin, the whole area from the Neve Yaakov, and even northward of the Neve Yaakov, that's where the places of Michmas, Ayat, Migron. The pasuk is describing how there's a quick march. He's going from one place to another, and then Sahali Koleg Bad Galim is the name of another place, cry out in a great voice, Hakshivi Laisha, listen Laish, Aniyah Anatot, here, Anatot is right by Neve Yaakov, all of these are places, right by French Hill already, Anatot, Antas, right by French Hill. We're talking about a forced march of Sancheriv. He's coming toward Yerushalayim. Nodador Madmena, the people of Madmena wandered away. In other words, it's a description of Jews fleeing from their homes before the march of the mighty forces of Ashur. Hagevim Heizu, the people in Gevim gathered together to protect themselves. Here begins the Haftarah for the last day of Pesach in Chutz Laaretz, and it has been adopted as the Haftarah for Yom HaAtzmaut. Od Hayom B'Nov La'amod. Today we are yet going to stand at Nov. Nov is the city of Kohanim. It may be right after French Hill or right near French Hill already, Ramat Eshkol. Od Hayom B'Nov La'amod. And you know what? From Nov he can already see Yerushalayim. You know, faith yado, he's going to wave his hand to Har Beit Zion, Givat Yerushalayim. And you know what the wave of the hand means? The Gemara explains that when Sancheriv, who has conquered the whole world, is finally making his way to Yerushalayim, and they told him Yerushalayim is going to be difficult to conquer. That's why there's this quick, forced march. He goes through, we're talking about a tremendous advance, and then he comes to Nov, and he takes a look down at Yerushalayim, and he waves his hand, what, this is the great Yerushalayim. His astrologist told him, go after the city today. And he says, no. We'll be in Nov today. Tomorrow, Yerushalayim. And that night, the angel of death comes down and destroys the camp of Sancheriv. Second Empire falls in the days of Yeshayahu. So you know what Yeshayahu now becomes? Yeshayahu, who has up until now said prophecy about the two great empires of his day, is now going to become the prophet who will talk about the next great empire to rise. It's going to be more than 100 years down the line. He's going to be seeing events that will take place in another 100 to 150 years, and the next great empire is going to be Babel. And not only is he going to see the rise of Babel, he is also going to see the absolute and total destruction of Babel. And we're going to see in a few moments, he is also going to prophesy who will bring down Babel. It's going to be Koresh, king of the Persians. He's going to see, therefore, in his own lifetime, he is going to, he says, prophecy about Aram and about Ashur. Beyond his lifetime, he says prophecy about the next great mighty empire, which is Babel, and the empire that is to follow it, which is Persia. Now, if you take a look at chapter 13, these are unbelievable psukim. I remember these chapters, 13, 14, and 15, I learned not in... I taught not in the context of a class on Yeshayahu, but in the process or before the Gulf War. Before the Gulf War. And Yud Gimel is Maso Bavel Asher Choso Yeshayahu Ben Amoz. This is the vision of Bavel that Yeshayahu Ben Amoz saw. And there are chapters and chapters about which, where he talks about... I'll take a few psukim. Al har nishpe seunais, on a tall mountain, hold up a banner. Horimu kol lehem, lift a voice to them. Honifu yad, wave the hand. V'yavou pitchei netivim, and they will come into the gates of the mighty ones, or the honored ones. What he's going to be talking about is that Babel, who had brought a world to its knees, is going to be brought down. Babel's cruelty was greater than the cruelty of all those who preceded Babel. Ani tziviti l'nekudashai, God says, I have commanded those whom I have appointed. Gam karati giborai lapi, I have called the ones who are mighty to carry out my anger. Alizei gavati, the ones who are the joy of my pride. You know who he's talking about? He's talking about the Persians and the Medes who are going to destroy Babel utterly. Kol hamon beharim. The descriptive power of Yeshayahu is amazing. You hear... In the upon the mountains, you hear the sounds of a mass of people. Demut amchav, you see before yourself the vision of many people. Kol shaon, the mighty voice. Mamlechot goyim ne'esafim. What did Bush call it? The coalition of nations, or some, you know, a coalition of great nations. Hashem Tzvakot. You remember we had learned this pasuk, the God of hosts, the Fakeid Tzva Milchama, the commander in chief. It's not the... Who's the commander in chief again? Norman? Schwarzkopf. Okay. Schwarzkopf. There's a coalition of nations that is coming against Babel, and the commander in chief is God himself. Boim meyedetz merkartea, coming from the land that is distant, miketzei ashamayim, from the very end of the heavens. Hashem God uklei zamo, and the vessels of his anger, lechabel kol haaretz, to destroy the whole land. Heililu, cry out. Ki karov yom Hashem, because the day of God is close. Keshod mishadai yavo. You see the poetic, it is showed, from Shaddai comes that which is going to rob and spoil Babel. Al kain kol yadayim tirpenu, all hands should become weak. V'cholabav enoshimas, and the heart of every man should melt. V'nivhalu, and they trembled, seething. V'chavolim yochezu, pains and later pains grab hold of them. Kayoledo yichilun, they will tremble like a woman giving birth. Ish el re'ehu yitmo, one man will turn to another with great wonder. Pnei lahavim pneim, the face of flame is their face. Who are they? These are the ones who are now coming against Babel to bring Babel down. Hinei yom Hashem ba, the day of God has come. Achzari, cruel, ve'evra, wrath, ve'charonaf, and anger, wasum ha'aretz l'shamot, to make the world desolate, v'chato'er, and the sinners, yashmid mimeno, who will destroy from her. The very heavens are going to wage war against Babel. Ki chokhvei hashamayim, the very stars of the heavens, uchisi lehem, and all of the trajectories that go through the heavens, the Milky Way, lo yohelu oram, their light is not going to shine. Choshach Hashem erish bitzeto, they describe absolute darkness. The sun is dark when it comes out. V'yoreach lo yagia oro, and the moon's light is not going to shine. Ufakadati, I'm going to command al table upon the earth, raw evil, v'arishoyim avonam, and upon the wicked I will bring their sins down upon them. V'hishbati ka'on zeidim, I will destroy the conceit of those who are evil. Zeidim, the same word that Yitro used to describe the destruction of Egypt, because what they did not as God's messengers, but Tadovar Asher Zodu Aleihem. We once gave a shir on the word Zaydin. We have it in davening every morning. Ezras Avosenu. What's it say over there? Zaydim Tibato, V'yedidim He'evarto, V'yechasu Mayim Tzareim. The Egyptians, the Zaydim, were drowned, the Yedidim and the beloved ones, the Jewish people, here about that you took them through the Yam Suf. You have it also, V'lam Hashinim Atzitzit V'chala, V'shemel, someplace over there, the word Satan, Zaydim Helitsuni Admi Od. David HaMelech says, the evil are the ones who have made fun and sport of me. And what about in Al Hanisim? So here he describes the destruction that's going to come upon Babel. The Ga'avat Aritzim Ashpil, the conceit of an achitz. We know what an achitz is. An achitz is a dictator, will be cast down. And I can keep going, I can keep reading over here. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable, these psukim. Yes? Well, the time frame, let's work it back. The destruction of Babel is after the some 50 years after Churban Bayis Rishon. In other words, the destruction of Babel, I would say, is about 20 years before the Purim story. In the days of Purim, the next empire is the empire of the Persians and Medes, Chel Paras Umadai. They are Paras Umadai. Paras was Koresh. We're going to come to Koresh right away. All right? So we're talking about Babel destroys the first Bet HaMikdash. Some I'll tell you exactly. 17 years before Churban HaBayit, Nebuchadnezzar had become the great world conqueror. No, 19 years before Churban HaBayit, Nebuchadnezzar became the world conqueror, and he had brought down the remnants of the Assyrian Empire that had their the capital in Nineveh. Remember who was sent to Nineveh? Yonah was sent to Nineveh. Moving back, so you have, we're talking about 150 years before the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, the Assyrian Empire comes into being. And the Assyrian Empire is led, the great conqueror is Sanherib, who is ultimately going to be destroyed at the gates of Jerusalem. So we're talking, the time frame is before and after the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. All right, let's go into the next time frame. The next time frame, chapter 44. Now, I will, all of the pieces are going to come together. You're going to see a mosaic of the Sefer. Chapter 44. Pasuk 24. Now we had learned, let me remind you that we had learned chapters 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, I think part of 43 and 44. Now, the end of 44. Pasuk 24, Kor Hashem, so says God, Goalecha, the one who redeems you, the Yotzercha Mibaten, and the one who formed you in the womb. Anochi Hashem, I am God, Oseh Kol, who does everything. Notesh Shamayim Levadi, I stretched out, I placed out the heavens by myself. Roka Ha'oretz, I made the vast expanses of the earth. Me, Me'iti, from me. That's interesting. Chapter 44, Pasuk 24. And I... Haki, no, you must have... Haki, you must have chapter 44. Chav Dalet. Okay. Now, when I came to the last one word or last two words of that Pasuk, I knew there was somebody who was waiting for me to explain why is it written in two words and read in one word. So, of course, I would have expected her to figure it out. In other words, it's read, Roka Ha'aretz, to have spread out the earth, Me'iti, it's from me. Now, there's another way of reading it, Me'iti, who was with me on the face of this earth when I made the world? So obviously it must be Me'iti. There was no other power on the face of this earth. God alone rules. So since Me'iti, who is with me, God is saying, then obviously, do you know who created the world? It came Me'iti from me. Nefer otod badim v'kosmin yeholel. Nefer otod badim, he destroys the signs of those who speak lies. What he's referring to is the astrologers who said that in the stars they saw all sorts of things are going to happen. But here is a God who pays no attention to that all. The Kosmin Yeholel, he makes magicians into fools. Who was a Kosain? Bilam was a Kosain. He makes fools of them. Meshiv Chachomim Achor, V'da'atam Yisakel. He turns the wisdom of the wise back, and their minds he makes foolish. The word Yisakel, as though it would have been written with a samach. In other words, don't give me any of your predictions, because there is one power in this world that can make naught of all of the predictions and all of the analysis. I'm the one. Mekim Dvar Avdo, Vatsat Malachav Yashlin. God is the one who establishes and fulfills the word of his servant, Va'atzap malachav, and the counsel of his messengers he will complete. And do you know what God is saying? Ha'omer li'Yerushalayim tushav. God is the one who says about Yerushalayim that it's going to be inhabited. Ula'orei Yehuda ki bonena, and to the cities of Yehuda that they will be rebuilt. V'chorvoteha akomein, and all of the destroyed cities, I will bring them up again. Ha'omer latsula choravi, the one who says latsula to the depths of the ocean, choravi, be dry. God did that when Jews crossed the Yamsuf. V'naharotayech, and your rivers, O Vish, I will dry. What river is he talking about? The Yarden. God split the Red Sea and he split the Yarden. Ha'omer, I am the one, Ha'omer. Yeshayahu says, God is the one who says, L'koresh, Ro'i, Koresh, my shepherd. V'chol chetzi Yishlam, he will fulfill all of my will. The Leimol Yerushalayim, Koresh is going to say to Yerushalayim, Tibonet, be rebuilt. V'heichol tivaseid, and the Heichol, the Beis Hamikdash, let its foundations be put in place. Do you understand what Yeshayahu is now talking about? Aram has passed from the scene. Ashur has passed from the scene. Babel is going to be destroyed. Babel is not. This already he sees in his prophetic mind's eye. This is 150 years before Nebuchadnezzar. And not only does he see the rise of Nebuchadnezzar and the fact that the Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, but he also knows that Babel is going to be brought down by who? By somebody called Koresh. He calls him by name. Ha'omer l'Koresh. Koresh is my shepherd, the one who's going to do my shepherding for me. Now, if you will recall the end of chapter 39, at the end of chapter 39, we are told that messengers from Babel had come to the house of Chizkiyahu, and Chizkiyahu showed them, or from Aram, from Asher, from up there, he showed them everything that was in his storehouses. There was nothing that he did not show them. And Yeshayahu comes to him in the name of God and says, who are these people that were here? What did you show them? And Chizkiyahu says, I showed them everything. I showed them everything. So he says, you should know, because of that, there is going to be destruction in this place. The end of chapter 39, Pasuk 5, Vayomi Yeshayahu Chizkiyo, Yeshayahu said to Chizkiyo, Shema Dvar Hashem Tzakot, hear the words of God, Haus, Hinei Yomim Vayim, days are coming, V'nisa Kol Asher Beitecha, everything that is in your house will be carried away, V'asher Otzru Avotecha, and that which your fathers have stored, Ad HaYomazeh, until this day, Bavel, it's going to be taken off the Bavel. They said Chizkiyo is being told by Yeshayahu that in 150 years from now, everything that has been collected here by your fathers will be taken off the Babel. The name Babel most probably didn't even exist in the world arena at the time that Yeshayahu says this to Chizkiyahu. Lo yivater davar amar Hashem, nothing will remain. Ubanech umibanech asher yetzu mimcha, and from your children who will come from you, asher tolid, that you will give birth to, yikachu, they will be taken, v'hayu sadisim, and they will be officers, v'heichal melech Babel, in the kingdom of the king, in the palace of the king of Babel. That's going to be Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah. And Chizkiyahu says to Yeshayahu, tov dvar Hashem asher dibarta, the word of God that you said is good. He accepts upon himself. In other words, kishen shemevarchim al hatov, kach mevarchim al hara. Just as you bless God for the good, you bless God for the bad. When he says tov Hashem, God is good, he is saying the bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem Dayan Ha'emet. He accepts God's divine wisdom. Asher dibarta vayomer, and Yeshayahu told him, Chizkiyahu said, ki yesh shalom ve'emet biyamai. At least let there be peace and truth in my days. Now, do you know what's happening over here now? We said that Yeshayahu It had a long career. The career has taken us now through events that took place in the days of Yotam, Uzziyahu, Yotam, Achaz, Yechizkiyahu, Malchei Yehuda. He had spoken to the people time and time again so that they should do tshuva and not fall before the forces of Haram, nor should they fall before the forces of Ashur. And ultimately, do you know what Yeshayahu is at this point in time? In the days of Chizkiyahu, when his career comes to an end, he's an abject, absolute failure. He's a failure. So now what is he prophesying about? He knows already, at the end of chapter 39, in the days of Chizkiyahu, he knows already that the Churban is going to come. He had thought that in, I don't know, 50 or 60 years of prophecy, he would be able to avoid the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, but he knows now, at the end of chapter 39, he knows for sure that the Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. He knows that it's Babel that's going to be, he said over here, your children will be taken to the house, everything will be taken off to Babel. He knows already that Babel's going to do it. But you know what else he knows? He knows, as he says in chapters 13, 14, 15, that Babel is going to be destroyed absolutely. And in chapter 44, at the end, he knows precisely who is the one that's going to destroy Babel. This Babel is going to be brought down by Koresh, king of Persia. And just a few psukim into Pasuk 45, Ko amar Hashem l'mishicho l'koresh. So says God. Don't translate this as Moshiach, but translate it as his anointed one. The anointed really means appointed. So says God to his anointed one, Koresh, asher chazakti b'yemino, that I held on to his right hand, l'rad l'fonov goyim, to bring goyim down before him, u'matnei melachim afatech, and I will open the loins of kings, l'ftarach, opening, you know, girding the loins, whatever that means. I imagine it's like putting on a holster or putting on your sword. Girding the loins represents going out to war. Opening up the loins means the one who is vanquished in battle. I'm going to open the loins of kings before him. Liftach lefanav delatayim. I'm going to open doors for him. Ushorim lo yisagedu. The gates of cities will not be closed before him. Koresh is going to succeed. You know what I say to Koresh? I will go before you. Vahadurim ushar. I will straighten out the crookedness of the roads. Daltot nechushar shaber. Doors of copper I'm going to break. Ubrichim barzel akadea. And the brichim, what do you call brichim? Huh? You know those things that you put into a... The bolts? Huh? You know, I always distill them, I can describe it in the old Indian movies, as the Indians are coming toward the fort, they close the doors of the fort, and they put the bar. We have it in these parishes, it's in everybody can describe what it is, and nobody's given me a word for it. A bolt? All right, bolt. I don't like the word, but there must be a better word for it. I will chop up, I will cut up the berichim of Basel. I'm going to give to you, Koresh, the treasures of darkness. The treasures of darkness means those treasures that have been hidden so well. What's in those treasures? You know what's in those treasures? What did Yeshayahu say to Chizkiyahu at the end of chapter 39? All the otzrot that your fathers had gathered are all going to be taken off to Babel. Who's going to open up those otzrot? You know who will open it up? It's going to be Koresh. Umatmunei mistavim. That which is hidden in concealment. Laman teda, I know that you should know, ki ani Hashem hakarei b'shimcha, I'm God who calls your name. I call you Koresh. I'm the one who brings you out, Elokeus, the God of Israel. And you know why? Do you know why I'm bringing you to destroy Babel? Leman Avdi Yaakov, for my servant Yaakov, for Yisrael Bechidi, and my chosen one Yisrael. V'ekro lecha b'shmecha. I called you by your name. Achancha, I gave you the name. V'lo yidatoni, and you don't know me. Where do we have a takeoff on these words? Anim Zmiros. Anim Zmiros. I can't sing it. You, Koresh, I'm the one who called you by name, but you're not so sure about me. So I want you to know, Koresh, Ani Hashem, I am God, Ve'ein Od, and there is none other, Zulati, Ein Elohim, aside from me, there is no God. A'azercha, I'm the one who gives you strength, V'lo Yedatani, and you don't really know me. L'man Yedu, I'm doing this so that they should know me, Mizrach Shemesh u'mimarava, from the east to the west. Ki eves bil adai, there is no one, nothing aside from me. Ani Hashem, I am God, ve'ein od, and there is no other. Yotzer Or, this pasuk we have learned. Yotzer Or, the one who creates light, who borei choshech, and makes darkness. Oseh Shalom, makes peace. Who borei ra, and creates the opportunity or the possibility of evil in the world. Ani Hashem, I am God, Oseh Kol Ela, who does all of this. So we are now at the period, historically we are at the period of the fall of Bavel and the rise of Koresh. Now I want you to go to the end of chapter 48. The service is great over here. Chapter 48, Pasuk 17, Yud Zayin. Now I'm telling you, this overview of Yeshayahu, you heard here first. Watch. Koamar Hashem, 48, Yud Zayin, 17. Koamar Hashem, Go al Cha Kedosh Yisrael. So says God, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. We already know that the Holy One of Israel describes God who comes to the aid and the assistance of the Jewish people. The Kedosh Yisrael is the one who brings joy to the hearts of the Jewish people. Ani Hashem Elokecha, I am God, your God. Milamedecha, I teach you lahoil. I teach you that which will assist you. Madrichacha b'derech telech, I guide you on the road that you should go. Would you only have listened to my commands? Your peace would flow like the river. The river represents something that continues to have a real peace. And your righteousness will be as great as the waves of the sea. If you would only listen to me, your children would be like the sand at the seashore. And the children who come from you, kima otav means the grains, like the grains of sand. Lo yikares, never be cut out. Lo yishomed shmo milafanai, his name, the name of Israel, will never be destroyed from before me. So I'm giving you good advice. Tzu'umi Bavel. Get out of Bavel. You understand? You see what period we're at? We are already, has Nebuchadnezzar now fallen? He says, you want good advice for me? I'm Kloif. Flee, go out of Bavel. Birchu mi Kazdim. Run from before the Kazdim. Bekol rinah, you should do it with great joy. I'm Kloif in America. What are you doing there? So, out! Hagidu Hashmiu Zot, tell it and say this. Hotzi Uha Ad Kitzei Ha'aretz, let it go out until the very ends of the earth. The Geula is here. All you have to do is get out. And we're going to see this idea is going to be taken further into chapter 49. Let it go out until the very ends of the earth. Imru, say to them, Gol Hashem Avdo Yaakov, God has redeemed His servant Yaakov. And you should know, you have nothing to worry about on the journey that you're going to make to Eretz Yisrael. V'lo tzomu, they're not going to be thirsty. V'chorovot holicham, I led them along dry land. But mayin mitzur hizilomo, water from a rock I had running for them. You remember chapter 35? Yisusum midbar v'tzion v'tzio v'tagel haravah. God says, wherever you go, there will be water for you. Don't worry. Vayivika tzur. He split the rock, vayazovu mayim, and water flowed out. I did it before. I'm going to do it again. Here comes a very difficult pasuk. Ein shalom amar Hashem l'rishayim. There is no peace, says God, for the wicked. Who are the wicked? Reading the simple meaning of the psukim, the ones who refuse to leave Bavel. But wait a minute, I'm going to be a little honest. Huh? Well, no, that's the last pasuk in... I've now brought you. Do you see what I've done for you? Have you followed me? I think we did a great job. Here. Rashi, I have to be honest. Rashi says, Ein shalom amar Hashem l'rishayim, there is no peace for the evil. Rashi says, l'nevuchadnetzar v'zaro nevuchadnetzar and his children. I mean, I can even say that there will never be peace with a rasha and his children. There's no way that Ein shalom amar Hashem l'rishayim. Even the Maldon says that. Don't be afraid of the Babylonians, the Chaldeans. Don't be afraid of them. Their time is over. Don't be afraid. So the Maldon says, Al tiru od mipnei ha-Chaldeans. You won't have to be afraid anymore of the Chaldeans, because l'rishayim ha'ela, for these wicked, Amar Hashem ein shalom, there is no peace. They will never have peace, because I'm going to bring destruction upon them. So most of the Mepharshim say that Ein Shalom Amar Hashem L'Rishayim. Nearly all the Mepharshim say that it means La'anshe Bavel, not what one would have assumed from the simple reading of the pasuk. So you know, I have to be honest. I'm looking at all. So now I'm looking at all the Mepharshim. The Eben Ezra. I'll read one line of the Eben Ezra. Yesh omrim ki ein shalom l'rishayim. There are those who say there is no peace with l'rishayim mi Yisrael. L'rishayim from Yisrael. V'yitachein, and it's possible, sheyedem ez labavliyim, that he's talking about the Babylonians. Ki zot hatovat tiel Yisrael, the good of peace that is going to come is only going to be for the Jewish people, not for the Babylonians. Now, I understand that what the Eben Ezra is saying, the following, that when you read the simple text seems to indicate that the ones who remain in Babel, it seems to be talking about Jews. Huh? Or Jews that don't go on Aliyah. I don't know. I would say that, Chas v'Shalom, I don't want to call anybody Rishon. Reformed Jews, they don't have to know about Eretz Yisrael. Chumah Yidin that know that there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, they have to know. The relationship is a bigger tainah to them than he has to others. What do we want from them? I'm going to try and go in order. Go ahead. That's not a bad kasha. She asks, hasn't the Rebbeinu Shem criticized, or for that matter, come down very hard on prophets who spoke ill of Israel and called, even it happens in chapter 6 of Yeshayahu, where Yeshayahu refers to the Jewish people as Sodom and Amorah, and an angel of God comes flying over with a hot coal and puts it to his lips in order to clean his mouth out. Except that over here, he is quoting God. It's not his own. Oh, so yitachen. But I'm saying the Eben Ezra says yitachen. It's possible that it means Rishoyim from Yisrael, and it may be a hint to the Babylonians. You know why he's saying that? Because when you read the pasuk, it seems to be talking about the Jewish people, but he doesn't. He has difficulty with that, so he says it's a remez la Bavlian. Yes. Mezuch de tocht and the name to shneer. Yeah, right. That's good. That I like that shot. You know, he says the Babylonians, but he means, listen, he said very clearly, run, flee from here. Yes.
In other words, there's no peace to these bubbles, you're not going to have whoever it is. If you're going to stay there, you're not going to have peace either. So get out among the Rishon.
Get out what?
From among the Rishon. Get out from them because they're
alone. Oh, okay.
If you're going to stay there, you're going to get caught up in their turmoil, whatever's going on.
Whatever's going to happen is going to happen to you. So let me also read the Mahari Kara, who says the following. We find in all Tanakh, wherever there is consolation for the Jewish people, you will find side by side the other side of the coin. In other words, V'hi kanohar shlomecha, your peace is going to be like a river is to the Jewish people. But to the others, Ein Shalom. Now, here, this is a very fine shot in the pasuk. In other words, the Ein Shalom Omar Hashem L'Rishayim, there is no peace to the Rishayim, is the other side of the coin. To the Jewish people, there will be peace. But he says the pasuk always tells us the opposite side of the coin. So that obviously it's talking about Bavel. It's not talking about anything else. Yes?
They didn't get out.
But they didn't leave. They didn't leave.
They gave them permission to leave.
He says, flee. He's talking even when Bavel is still rules. On Clive, he's talking even before Bavel has fallen to the Persians. Birchu mikazdim. He said, run away from the Kazdim of the Babylonians. Don't even wait for Koresh. Get out while the getting is good. I'm Clive now.
Could they?
Huh?
Could they?
I don't know. I imagine if the Navi said that they should flee, they were able to flee. Jews have always been known how to schwarze grenitz. Do I have to translate that into... It's a Yiddish expression to black a border. In other words, Jews always know how to cross borders. I'm Clive from the Kazdan. I'm sure they didn't have checkpoints across all the borders. The Rebbe says, I'm Clive. The Kazdan are the Babylonians. That's another name for the Babylonians. The ruling... No. The Persians conquered the Babylonians. The Kazdim are the Babylonians, and the Kazdim really represents the upper echelon. So now I brought you to chapter 49. Now you're going to see how it all fits in. Because in chapter 49, nearly for the first time, I say nearly, we're going to hear Yeshayahu speak on a personal level. The Navi is telling us what's going on in his mind. In chapter 6, we had something of that sort. In a few other, very few places. Yirmiyahu, by the way, is one of the Nevi'im about whom we hear a great deal about himself from himself. Yeshayahu, very little, but here in chapter 49. Shimu'i Emelai, listen to me. Islands, and islands really means nations spread throughout the world. Peoples that live distances away. Hashem mi beten kiraoni, God called me from the womb. Mi mei imi hizkir shemi, while I was still in the stomach of my mother, he mentioned my name. This is Yeshayahu speaking in first person. We hear him for the first time. And he wants everybody to hear him. And he describes his mission. Vayosen pi, God made my mouth, kechedev chada, like a sharp sword. Betzel yodo herbiyani, in the shade of his hand, he hid me. Vayosimeni lcheitz barur, he made me like an arrow that is clear, shiny. Ba'ashpato histirani, he hid me in his ashpa. You know what the word ashpa really means? That's the quiver, the thing that you keep arrows in, understand? Yeshayahu has now described himself and his prophecy as a sharp sword and like an arrow. Who else uses these two metaphors? Could be. I don't know, in Tillim in a number of places, but I can't remember a pulsing now, but I'm just thinking of somebody else. What could I do? When Yaakov gives to Yosef two shares in Eretz Yisrael, he says, from the land of the Ashelokachti, in the land Ashelokachti miyavre Amodi, that I took from the Amodi, becharbi ubekashti, with my sword and with my bow. The next week in Yes Hashem, I will explain the difference between sword and bow. But here, I just want to get you into what's happening over here. And here in this chapter, I'm using the introduction of the Malbim, and you'll see right away. Vayomeli, God said to me. Remember. Here, after all the psukim, we finally hear Yeshayahu speaking to us in first person. Vayomeli, God said to me, Avdi Oto, you are my servant. Yisrael, Asher v'chayet pa'ay, you are the Yisrael in whom I take great pride. Pasuk 4. Va'ani amarti, I said, Lorik yogati, all of my toil was for nothing. Letohu v'hevel kochi ki liti, for void and nothingness, I used up all my energy. You know, Yeshayahu was saying, I tried so hard all these years, and I failed. I'm an absolute failure. I did not bring Jews to do mass tshuva, neither in the days of Aram, nor in the days of Ashur. And I have already prophesied, I already see in my mind's eye, what's going to be with Babel. Jews are going to fall before Babel. Yes, I see what's going to happen afterwards, that the Koresh is going to give them permission to go. And by the way, he knows what's going to happen as well, that they're not going to go. And we're going to see that in this chapter. So therefore, he takes a look at all of his prophecy up until now, and he says it was all a waste. It was all for nothing. Ochein, Mishpati et Hashem, my judgment is before God. Rashi says, Hu yodea, he knows, she'ino mi'iti, it's not my fault, ela mi'itam, it's them, I tried my best. Upu'ulati et elokai, and I did that which I have to do before God. We will also talk about the difference between mishpat and pu'ula, we'll see this all. V'ato Amar Hashem, now, something dramatic changes. Amar Hashem, God said, who's God? Yotzri Libet, and the one who formed me in the stomach. Le'eved lo, to be a servant unto him. This is the first time that we've heard from Yeshayahu words that are similar to the words of Yirmiyahu. At the beginning of Yirmiyahu, God says to Yirmiyahu, Mibeten higdashticha, I appointed you from the stomach, from the womb. Yeshayahu now tells us, I know that God set me aside from the stomach, le'eved lo, and to be a servant to him. And what was the purpose? The purpose of my entire mission was l'shovev Yaakov elof, to bring Yaakov back to him. The Yisrael lo ye'osef, and Israel should be gathered into him. The ekovei b'nei Hashem, and I would be honored in the eyes of God. The elokai hayom uzi, God was my strength. But I didn't accomplish it. I failed. I'm a failure. You know what's going to happen now? A new mission is going to be given to Yeshayahu. And it's most probably his most important mission. He's now going to become one. He's going to become the prophet of all of history. He's now going to become the prophet of ultimate history. And he's going to be the prophet not only for the Jewish people, but he's going to tell a whole world what their ultimate destiny is going to be. His mission to Israel in his lifetime has failed. But his mission now is going to be a mission, ultimate history, and to all of Israel. And therefore he says, Vayomer, so God said, Nokel mi yotcha li eved. It's an easy thing that you should be for me a servant, Lahakim et Shiftei Yaakov, to bring up the tribes of Yaakov, Unitzudei Yisrael Lahashiv, and to bring back the guarded ones of Israel. We'll explain this all next week. You know, that's easy. Don't worry, you'll be able to do that at the end of time. But you know what I'm going to do for you now? You know what I want you to do now? Unitaticha La'or Goyim. You're going to be a light unto the nations now. You're going to talk about the ultimate salvation that I'm going to bring until the very ends of the earth. A new mission, a new task. Yeshayahu becomes now the Navi of the whole world. He becomes the Navi of the ultimate end of Israel. And therefore, with Pasuk Zion, until the end of Sefer Yeshayahu, we are going to hear the great prophecies of all time. Not Chas V'Shalom to denigrate the prophecies that I said before. Some of the most magnificent prophecies of all I said earlier. But what it means is those prophecies that were said earlier that had not been fulfilled are now going to become the prophecy of all time. Remember, the great psukim of, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares. This was chapter 2 in Yeshayahu. We're talking about great. Chapter 11 is the great chapter of the description of Mashiach. The descriptions of Kibbutz Golios that he had hoped would take place in his own day didn't take place in his own day. He thought that they would take place after the destruction of Babel, and it didn't take place until the destruction of Babel. So all of those prophecies that have remained unfulfilled are going to be fulfilled in the longer view of time. It's just not going to happen in his time, and it's not going to happen now. Therefore, Ko Amar Hashem, so says God, Goel Yisrael, the Redeemer of Israel, Kedosho, the Holy One of Israel, Levizo Nefesh, Lemitaev Goy, Le'eved Moshlim, to a people whose soul is shamed, who are despised by the nations, who are considered slaves. Do you know what's going to happen with that people, Israel? Despised, downtrodden? Melochim Yiru Vakamu. Kings will see them and stand up for them. Sodim v'yishtachavu, ministers will bow down before them. Leman Hashem Asher Neman, for God's sake, who is trustworthy. Kedosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Israel, v'yiv chorecha, and he chose you. So you should know, in the ultimate longer view of history, the Pope is going to eat the paper that he signed yesterday with the Yamach Shemayni Arafat. That's what's going to happen. Melochim Yiru Vakamo, Sorim Vayishtachavu. And from here on and further, Yeshayahu is going to talk ultimate destiny. I'm telling you, you've gotten now a bird's eye view of Sefer Yeshayahu. Nobody could have given it to you. I'm telling you, we took you through the history, and now we're going to take you from 49 to the end. Okay. Oh, boy, that I...